Douglas Crook, Wednesday, June 22nd, 2011.
Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 3. In your study booklets in the book of Proverbs, we are under the heading of consequences, which is found on page 15. And if you will look through the list there of the Proverbs that have to do with this theme, you'll find Proverbs 18 and verse 3, and that's where we will begin this evening. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 3. When the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. This proverb shows us a devolution of the effect of sin in the individual's life, in his own heart, and in his experience with others. We see how there are consequences when we begin to have contempt against the authority of the Word of God. As we've been looking at the wisdom of God with these general statements of wisdom, understanding that in the context of the Scriptures, that the wisdom that we're talking about is that which comes from above. We're talking about the revealed will of God for every area of our life. And God's instruction and His revelation carries with it authority. But whenever anyone, saved or unsaved, ignores the instruction of the wisdom of God, it leads to contempt. It begins with a contempt. And that leads to dishonor and shame. And then that leads to disgrace, or the thought behind the reproach there is a public rebuke or a public scorn. We've seen a number of illustrations of this proverb in the headlines of late, and well, it doesn't matter what headlines you use from what year or what age. You see that this has always been the experience of those who have contempt for the authority of the Word of God. So many public figures of late that we have seen, the reproach, the public reproach, that is the result of the fact that they ignored God's standard of right and wrong. And that, of course, begins with accepting Jesus as your Savior. But then for a child of God, we now have the opportunity to actually be a living example of what righteousness looks like, and how it acts and conducts itself. And so this is what God desires for us. But any degree of disobedience to the will of God begins with that contempt, or the bare minimum is a disrespect for the authority of God's Word. And once you begin to question the authority of God's Word to tell you what to do, to point you in the direction you should go, the moment that you begin to question that, you are disrespecting the authority of the Word of God. And that leads to a very slippery slope that leads to dishonor and then shame. Let's go to the New Testament in 1 Timothy 5. If we want the blessings of God, the favor of God in a very real and practical way in our life, we have to humble ourselves. Which, of course, is the opposite of disrespect, of the opposite of contempt. Don't tell me what to do, I know what to do. That's arrogance, that's contempt. But the opposite of that is to understand, I don't have what it takes to run my own life in a way that is successful for time and for eternity. We have to humble ourselves in order to surrender to the will of God, to the authority, to accept the authority of God's instruction. And this is what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. This is what we need to understand. To humble yourself to the authority of the Word of God is not a demeaning position, Did I give you the wrong reference? It's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 to 11. I'm sorry about that. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 to 11. Don't hesitate to interrupt me if I've caused you to get lost. Humble yourselves to understand that you need the direction of the Word of God. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So surrendering to that mighty hand is not to crush you. It's not to keep you down. But when you surrender to the authority of the Word of God, that mighty hand of authority is actually going to lift you up. It's going to cause you to enjoy life to its fullest in this life and in eternity. Casting all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a safe and blessed place it is to surrender to the authority of God, the authority of His Word, because we are surrendering to the God of all grace, that is, favor. We are surrendering to the Almighty God, who will use His almighty power to lift us up and to exalt us. But whenever, in whatever degree, we choose to disrespect the Word of God, to have contempt for the Word of God, now all of a sudden we think we're going to exalt ourselves and have the best, but now we've started down this path that leads to shame. And this is something that is so clear all through Scripture. And yet, how many times, over and over again, do people think they know better? And yet they prove this proverb to be true with their rebellion. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. May, instead of having contempt for God's Word, may the psalmist's heart toward the Word of God be our heart. May his understanding be our personal revelation of the value of God's Word. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and it endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. What a difference between having contempt for the Word of God and to understand exactly how valuable and precious it is. Let's read the rest of the verses that are found under this heading of consequence. Let's read them all at the same time here, because they're very similar, and then we'll consider them all together. But beginning at Proverbs 19 and verse 29, we read, "Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and beatings for the back of fools." Remember, the theme here is consequences for ignoring the wisdom of God. The next one is found in Proverbs 21 and verse 12. The righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. Proverbs 21:16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. The 21st verse of Proverbs 21, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. Proverbs 22, verse 8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. It's interesting how some people get angry about the Word of God. You can get angry all you want, it's not going to accomplish anything for you. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Proverbs 26, verse 1, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. They just don't go together. Proverbs 26, verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. And the last one, Proverbs 26 and verse 27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. As we have seen all through the study in Proverbs, there are many, many, many consequences for ignoring God's loving, wise instruction. You can arrogantly mock the Word of God. You can be a scoffer. Or you can be a fool who just foolishly and rashly ignores the warnings and the instruction of God's Word. But either way, no matter what degree that you reject God's Word, you're going to suffer the pain and the sorrow of the consequences of those choices. Now, sometimes the painful consequences of sin are administered by civil authorities. And in this list that we read about the rod for the fool's back and whips. Those are all speaking of public punishment by the civil authorities. And of course, in these Proverbs were written to Israel. And so they were to be, these punishments were to be exercised under the authority of the law of Moses. But we do understand that civil authority, government, they are responsible to punish those who break the law. And much of what is considered unlawful are things, especially in our society, things that God has already declared to be wrong. There are other things that God has declared to be wrong that the law says, well, it's okay, it's not unlawful. It may not be good, it may not be, but it's not unlawful. But the reality is, sometimes when you ignore God's Word, you're going to suffer the consequences of the civil authorities, and you should. There are some Christians that think that they can commit unlawful deeds, and because they're Christians and under grace, that everybody should do everything possible to see to it that there are no consequences for their actions. Well, I'm sorry. The Bible does not promote that whatsoever. In fact, it says, a secular proverb, you do the crime, you do the time. That's something that God has put in place and the authority that he's given to the local authorities. Let's read that in Romans 13. It's God ordained. It doesn't mean that those civil authorities that are exercising that authority are godly in any way. It doesn't mean that they're doing it for the glory of God. It simply means that God has allowed them to be in place in order to exercise this authority. Foolishly ignoring God's standard of right and wrong sometimes results in these public consequences of running up against the law. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And remember when this was written. This was written under the Roman Empire system. The emperors were some of the vilest individuals that have ever lived on the planet. And yet, The Apostle Paul, in this church age of grace, makes this statement, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God, not because of their godliness, but because he has an ultimate plan and purpose that doesn't involve making heaven on earth. It involves the ushering in of his son to rule and reign forever with his bride and with his church. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. That sounds a lot like some of these proverbs we just read. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And again, these are general statements. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This, of course, is in the context of always surrendering to the will of God first and foremost. In other words, when these God-appointed authorities ever tell you that doing the will of God is against the law, then and only then do you break the law of the authorities in order to honor God. The Apostle Paul did this. This is how he lived. He was martyred by these God-appointed governments, but he did so in the will of God. And we need to do the same. And that needs to be our understanding. If you break the law, it is simply a consequence. Because if you as a Christian are going to be pleasing and honoring the Lord and living wisely, you're not going to be breaking the law. It really is that simple. And if you break the law because you've ignored or had contempt for the wisdom of God, there are consequences for that. All that is sin is not necessarily considered unlawful. Again, recently one of the congressmen that was shamed into leaving Congress, it was not necessarily because what he did was illegal. It may be discovered that ultimately it was, but it wasn't necessarily why he left. He was simply publicly shamed, which again is what these proverbs are saying. Even when there are not legal repercussions for sin, there are often physical, emotional, and mental scars for disobeying the will of God. How many Christians have had their life ruined and scarred because they ignored the will of God? The simple instruction on what's appropriate for a child of God and what's not. You reap what you sow. That's what these are saying. Pain and sorrow, death, they are innate characteristics of sin. And again, sin is simply to ignore God's word. One of the Proverbs talked about, you dig a pit, you're going to fall in it. you roll a stone up a hill, you're in danger of being crushed by that. One example, and we'll look at this a little bit more when we come to the Proverbs that deal with it. About drinking. There are a lot of Christians, and to me, I'm amazed at how many Christians thought that they could be social drinkers without suffering any consequences, and then one day they wake up and they realize they have a drinking problem. What happened? They were pushing a stone up a hill that God says you shouldn't be pushing. And then one day they're surprised when that stone rolls back on them and crushes them. These proverbs aren't just quaint little sayings. This is the revealed truth of the Creator of human life. This is why we must pay attention to these instructions. If you want God's best for this life, for your relationships, if you want God's best in eternity, we need to value what we read in Scripture. And if you're going to value it, you're going to submit to it. You're going to apply it to your life. I've got a track, by the way, out there on alcohol and the believer. It'd be good if you would take time to read some of the two different articles by two different men. That when we get to those proverbs, we'll look at that a little more in depth, but that'll give you a little heads up if you'll read that ahead of time. But let's go to Galatians 6, where the Apostle Paul puts it this way. Same truth. You push a stone up a hill, you're going to get crushed. Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8. Don't be deceived. How many Christians have deceived themselves in thinking there are no consequences to ignoring God's word? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He's writing to Christians here. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Will reap the benefits of that life that every child of God has. There's another secular proverb that would reflect all of these proverbs we're looking at. And that is, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. It's common sense. But God's people ignore it far too many times. If you are going to indulge in the lust of the flesh, you're going to suffer the painful consequences. Sometimes it looks like God's people get away with it. Sometimes it looks like the ungodly and the unsaved seem to be getting away with their scoffing at God. But 1 Timothy 5 tells us not to accept that as the final outcome. 1 Timothy 5 and verses 24 to 25. One day everyone will give an account of their life before their Creator. Every single human being. The unsaved will do it before the great white throne judgment. And the verdict is already settled. Because they rejected the offer of grace, they remain in condemnation. They remain under the wrath of God. And those in this life that are unsaved and boast in their... I was following behind a lady. No, it was at the gas pump. I didn't engage this woman in conversation because I looked at all the bumper stickers that she had, and they were all anti-Christian and anti-God, and she was quite proud of it. And there are many that boast in their mocking of God and of God's people, and some appear to get away with it even all the way through the end of their life. But they will give an account before God, before the great white throne judgment. The believer also will give an account for how we have lived our life as Christians, as God's people. Now the outcome, we understand, is far, vastly different than before the great white throne judgment. But there is yet an accounting, and there are consequences, and there are rewards. 1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. In other words, in this life, they suffer the consequences of their foolish choices. But those of some men follow after. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. In other words, it's not over until God says it's over. And God will have the final word. And since His word will be the final word, don't you think it ought to be the first word in our life? the first word in every decision, in every relationship, in every choice, don't you think we ought to go to the Word first? Because He will have the last word. And I want to be saying what He says. May the Lord help us to have that understanding. Because the contrast, and I believe there was only one proverb that actually contrasted the foolishness of rejecting the wisdom of God, where it talked about the righteous finding life, honor. Instead, in contrast to the shame and the pain and the loss that comes from choosing to ignore God's word, those who follow the righteous instruction of God's word, they find mercy. They find life. They find the right way. Righteousness, honor begins right now in this life, and then the fullness is entered into in eternity. These things, mercy, life, righteousness, honor, these things are inherent to doing the will of God. Just like pain and sorrow and loss and shame are inherent to sin, doing the will of God just leads to these things. It's not that, you know, when you purpose in your heart to do what's right in the sight of God, when you throw yourself on His grace and say, God, I need Your strength, I need Your power, but I want to walk in the right path. And when you purpose in your heart to follow your shepherd in those paths of righteousness, you don't have to try to be happy. You don't have to try to be content. In the will of God, you find those things. It's what these verses are saying. It's what the Word of God declares to be true. I'm looking forward for when Jesus comes. But the reality is, I enjoy my life right now. Do I have things I don't enjoy about it? Yeah, you don't want to see my list. There are a lot of things I don't like about life. But I enjoy the faithfulness of God in my life. In the will of God, I found life. I found what life is all about. I found what relationships are all about in the will of God. When things get out of kilter in my life, it's because I find that, you know, I'm not walking in that path like I should. I'm glad for the positive rewards of walking in the will of God. We can't ignore the warnings of the consequences of sin. But I thank God for finding life, finding mercy and honor. Let's go to the next theme on page 16 of your study book. The theme is motives of the heart. And the first verse there is Proverbs 15 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? The word that's translated hell here is the Hebrew word Sheol, which is the unseen place of the departed spirits. The unseen to us, that is. When it says that hell and destruction are before the Lord, that means He sees them. He knows what's going on. The word destruction there is usually a reference to the lowest depths of hell and to the suffering that goes on there, the destruction that goes on there. For us as human beings, what lies beyond the grave, what lies beyond death, is such a big, dark, unknown secret to us, apart from what God's Word has revealed to us. But we don't know what goes on there on a daily basis. But God sees it all. It's not unseen to Him who fills all and all. God knows who's there. He knows what's going on. He sees it just as plainly as you can look around here tonight and see one another. I mean, you know, we just take that for granted and we greet one another. Hell and destruction are as clear to God as you and I are looking at one another tonight. And so the proverb is saying this: if God knows the secrets of the world beyond the grave, how much more does he know the secrets of men right here on earth? It is astonishing to me how many individuals and how many Christians think that they can hide things from God. Young, old, children, adults. And I guess maybe we begin to think this way about God, that we can kind of hide things from God, because we can have success in hiding things from each other, can't we? Kids, you can hide things from your mom and dad. And you can maybe get away with things, but you're really not hiding anything from God. He not only sees what you do and say in secret, he sees it in your heart. Before you even do it, he sees that. And you need to be aware of that. As you will find out, not to scare you. It scares a lot of people. Scares a lot of Christians, that very thought. But it shouldn't. You can hide things from your husband. You can hide things from your wife, from your children, from your boss, from your neighbors, from your pastor, from your congregation. You can hide things from each other. But you can hide them from God. Luke chapter 12. Let's look at some New Testament truths so that you understand that this is something that God wants you to know. Again, not to scare you, but in order that you might think and act properly. Luke 12, 1 through 3. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he, Jesus, began to say to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nothing, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore," because that's a truth that God has revealed, "therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops." Wow. Sounds pretty scary. 1 Corinthians 4. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says. Again, these are not just so many idle words. This is the revelation of God. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 5. "Let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." In other words, if there's a requirement, that means there are consequences for being unfaithful. "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this." That's not the final word. "But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." Notice that it says, it ends actually on a positive note. Each one's praise. So this truth that God sees the secret things of your heart can actually lead you to a life of victory where you receive praise from God. But if you believe what these verses that we've read tonight, if you believe them to be true, do you see how pointless it is to lie and deceive? Some Christians have perfected lying and deceiving. Do you see how pointless it is? How vain? Everything will ultimately be exposed. So, Why not live honestly? Why not live transparently before God and before man? Why not go ahead and live like we understand this truth to be real? God sees and He knows. Don't be scared of this truth. Understand this, that the fear of the Lord doesn't mean that you never have wrong thoughts. It doesn't mean that you've never done anything in secret that you shouldn't. But if you believe this truth to be real, you will quickly understand the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? You think you got away with something, but God saw you. That knowledge will lead you to repentance and restoration and obedience. But if you really think you got away with it, why repent? So you see how that this truth shouldn't scare you. You should thank God for it, to know that it's going to continually keep you going in the right direction. But this is why when you are doing things, young people, children, adults, that you know the Holy Spirit is faithful to convict you. No one else knows about it. One of the scourges on our society and the scourges in the Christian community is pornography. And it's done so easily in secret. This truth will keep you from that, whether anybody else knows about it or not. God knows about it. He sees. And that truth will cause you to turn from that thing, be restored, and to follow Christ. And it goes along with everything else: alcohol, lying, gossip. The list is unending. Knowing that God knows will keep your heart pure if you surrender to this truth. And again, it doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it does mean that you will continually be drawn to the path of righteousness. Well, I think we'll stop there tonight. We can ultimately receive the praise of God if we will let these truths control our life, our thoughts, and our actions. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.